You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to read right now from 2 Thessalonians 3:11 to 13. Y'all are going to be like, you've read that every week for the last 3 weeks. Yep, and I'm going to for the next couple too. And so you ready? We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. You can, if you don't know what the word idle means, well, think about a car not going anywhere. It's there, it's doing something, but it's not going anywhere. Think about the word lazy. You could perhaps put that in there as well. We hear that some among you are idle or lazy, not going anywhere, and disruptive. They are not busy, but they're busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down. Earn the food they eat, and as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Hey, come on, would you pray with me? Reach out your hands, and I'm just going to pray for us all. Heavenly Father, we know that you are interested in all of our lives and all the areas of our lives, and you're interested in our lives intimately. God, we know that you have good things for us, and all the things that you tell us to do will bless us, and all the things that you tell us not to do aren't good for us. And we thank you that the scriptures have insight into the wonderful areas of our lives. We ask you today to help us as we read your word, as we explore your word. Help us to be productive, Lord God, to be uplifting and encouraging members of your church, and help us to live lives that honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. That's a good prayer. Yeah. We have been talking about building healthy habits in our lives, dealing with the areas of laziness or idleness in our lives. And when you're talking about laziness and when you're talking about idleness, it would be a disservice if we didn't mention one of the greatest areas of our lives where we can be idle and lazy, which is right there in our own heads, right? Right in our own headspace is the number one place I think that many of us will find that we can be lazy or idle and just let anything happen. See, laziness, we've talked a lot about empty spaces, how the empty spaces, particularly time and time management and habits in our lives, that when there's an empty space, that if you don't choose what's going to fill it, someone else will, right? We talked about how if in your children's lives you leave too much empty space, they or someone else or something else will fill up the space and you might regret that, right? We talked about how in our workplaces, if we don't choose to fill the space at work, something else might fill the space, like somebody else who gets the promotion instead of you, right? We've talked a lot about filling the empty spaces in our lives so that someone else, or particularly so the devil, doesn't fill them for us. But you see, laziness doesn't only exist in empty spaces. Sometimes it sits right there in an easy space. See, we all need some veg time, right? We're not preaching against having a rest. Come on, I like to rest, and believe you me, Netflix is good for it, right? So this sermon series isn't about getting rid of Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime or Google Play or all the other ways that you can watch other people live their lives. It's good to have some rest time. It's even good to have some time where the brain isn't having to do much at all. Some relaxed time, some brain stop time. And Netflix and all those things are honestly really fabulous for that. But when we talk about laziness or idleness, we're also talking about our lives in general. And today, our minds in general, the rest of the day, not the rest in the day, the rest of the day, what we allow our minds to do with the rest of our time. And sometimes even in our rest time, we can be lazy, I guess, with our minds. You see, because the mind is a wonderful place, right? Like when God said that I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or imagine, right? And God knows that we have a mind that can imagine all sorts of things. God created your mind. We're actually made in His image. And out of the mind of God came all of creation, the universe, the heavens, the earth, the stars, the trees and the animals. And God said He made us in His image, in His likeness, and He made us to be creative too. We procreate, we create, we do all sorts of great creative things. We've been made in His image. And the mind is a wonderful place. And we understand now that while we don't know everything about the mind, we understand a lot more than we used to, right? Science understands a lot more about the mind than we used to, but we only know this much. We still don't know hardly anything. We still know very little about what the mind can do, because the brain is one of God's great mysteries. See, there are about 100 billion neurons in the human brain, the same number or a similar number of stars that there are in the galaxy. The slowest speed that information travels between the neurons in your brain is 260 miles per hour. Sounds better when you talk kilometers per hour. It's like 440 kilometers an hour. Come on now. That's fast, right? The energy used by the brain is enough to light a 25-watt bulb constantly. And the average number of thoughts that you and me have each day is about 70,000 thoughts. Your mind is thinking about 70,000 different thoughts a day. Now, that's thoughts. That's not like involuntary actions like, hey, heartbeat, hey, heartbeat, hey, heartbeat. That doesn't happen like that. I've never told my heart to beat. My brain just makes it happen, right? We're talking thoughts, things that go through your mind, about 70,000 of them a day, whether it be an emotion, a feeling, a response, a reaction. So no wonder the Bible has so much to say about your thought life, huh? See, because all of us struggle with negativity and negative thoughts and emotions at different times. And that's why Scripture repeatedly urges us to change our thinking and to renew our minds. See, right now as I'm saying this, you're like, yeah, there's a lot in Scripture about all this, isn't there? You know, renew your minds. God's Word's full of wonderful direction for your thought life. Proverbs 23:7 says something phenomenal. So a man thinketh, so he is. That's powerful, isn't it? What a man thinks, so he'll become. Not just become, so he is. That's phenomenal, isn't it? Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these such things. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive. There are 70,000 thoughts going through your head, and you have the power to take them all under control. You have the power by the Holy Spirit and by our relationship and friendship with God to control them. See, when you correctly apply biblical truth, your thought life will change, and you'll be able to accomplish more than you could have ever imagined. If you learn to take your thoughts captive and to live with purpose in every area of your life, and when I say live with purpose, I mean don't just accidentally wander through life, but have a purpose for everything you do and everywhere you go. Have purpose in your mind with the things you think about. Your life and thoughts will begin to determine your destination. See, a quote that's apparently attributed to the famous outlaw Frank Jackson, or Frank Outlaw, says this really well. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. And watch your character, it can become your destiny. And it all starts in the battle of the mind. And some of you feel right now that your mind is a battlefield. I understand that it's hard to control your mind and your emotions and your thoughts. And sometimes your mind can feel like the most horrible place to exist. Yet we all have to exist right in there. And it can feel like the worst place you could possibly be sometimes. And I understand that when you go through terrible things that it hurts. And I know that some of you right now are smack bang in the middle of a divorce. Some of you right now are smack bang in the middle of a custody battle. Some of you sit here today and you've recently been devastated by a relationship that fell apart. And it hurts. Your mind feels like the world's biggest battlefield. See, I want you to know right now that it doesn't have to stay that way. That your mind doesn't have to stay that way. You don't have to wake up and feel like it's chaos around you just because there's chaos in your mind. See, the Holy Spirit can come and will come if we invite Him to come and bring peace. See, we're talking about the mind today, not just while some of you are overwhelmed, but we're talking about the mind today because some of you are overwhelmed and God wants you to know that He can do something about it today. See, it's not just a coincidence. We're not talking about it while. We're talking about it because God knows and because God cares and because God wants your mind to have peace. God wants you to have peace, amen? Why is Jesus called the Prince of Peace? God wants you to have peace. Business decisions or trying to deal with betrayal at work. Some of you might think, how is Scripture, all right? How is Scripture going to help me today? How can these encouraging words bring me peace today? Well, I've got good news for you. Are you ready for it? These two are. I've got good news for you. Are you ready for it? Come on, this is Eternity Church. If you're new, get on board. We talk back in church. You know when mummy and daddy said, don't talk back at me? Well, forget that, all right? This is Eternity Church. You talk back, all right? You talk back at me, unless I'm correcting you when you're my son. But I've got news for you today. See, most of what we're given in Scripture was written in an environment of uncertainty and absolute chaos. It was written in chaos, in times of massive hardship or personal loss or struggle. And in the midst of all these struggles, we see that when people turn to God, that He answers them and He delivers them. See, this isn't a book filled with feel-good messages for a world we don't live in. It's a book full of the truth of God. It's not watered-down stories that try to gloss over the imperfections of those that God comes to rescue. See, the only thing that all the people God rescues have in common is that they humbled themselves before God and asked Him to help. See, Scripture, come on now, if I was God and I was showing people, writing a book about my goodness and writing a book about how people should live for me, I wouldn't include almost 90% of the Word of God. I wouldn't include all these people. I'd write some story about a utopian society where everybody just does exactly what I want. I show them exactly how good they can be. But instead, He writes a story that shows us exactly how good He is instead of how good we can be. Amen. So that all these messed up people are right there in the story for us. It's full of them. When we find God speaking directly into uncertain times, we see God's hand in the midst of the uncertainty. Joseph found himself in a pit. Not like, oh, I got the pits today. You know, like, oh, I just feel like I'm in a pit. No, the dude was in a pit, right? A hole in the ground. And his bros put him there. His brothers put him in the pit. And they were debating whether to kill him or sell him. That's a real pit. I got the pits to that. Come on, the dude was in a hole in the ground, covered it up, and we discover that God was with him. King David awoke one morning to the rumor that his own son was conspiring against him, wanted him dead, wanted him gone. Many of the Psalms reflect the uncertainty of those days. King David, the man after God's heart. The man after God's heart was a mess. And his son wanted to destroy him. And we find in the Psalms how God was with him, how God carried him, how God delivered him, how God provided for him. The Apostle Paul, knowing that God had called him, but found himself bound and dragged to prison. With the future a blur, he writes to us about what to do when God's promises seem to not be coming true. One afternoon, an angel appeared to a teenager and announced that she would get pregnant, that she is pregnant. She'd never been with a man. Her name was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Talk about freak out. The Bible says Mary was perplexed, confused, overwhelmed. The future was completely different, believe me, than anything that Mary had planned out for her life. So worry, panic, overreact, and have fear. That'll get you through it. These are not the only options you have. See, I've never known any of those things to be productive. They make things worse. Like relationally, when you're so worried, when you're in a panic, when you're overreacting, and when fear is controlling you, we get self-centered. And the only things that we can talk about are what we are going through. My problem, my hurt, my pain, my lack, my. We become self-absorbed when we let these things control us. Amen? It happens. Or financially, we make bad decisions. We shop to kill the pain. And some of your husbands right now are looking at your wives going, yeah, they do. But this retail therapy thing is not just a lady problem. Come on now, be honest, right? How many of you have felt real bad and a new lawnmower fixed your problem? Yeah, you thought it did, didn't you? You think, I know what I need. I had a fight with my wife. I'm going to have to buy a new mower. Yeah, I need to buy a new toolkit. Yeah, I'll buy a new car. This will fix it. This will fix my problems. Come on, boys. We're just as guilty as they are, and you know it. So many times I've had the pits and walking through Walmart or Bunnings or something. Lowe's. Bunnings is the Australian version of that. Yeah, walking through there and, man, I can buy some stuff when I feel bad and overwhelmed. How about you? Isn't it interesting that when you're the most broke and it hurts the most, you can afford to buy the most things? Yeah. Yeah, you get a big bill in the mail and you're freaking out. So you're like, well, I need a new laptop or an iPhone or something, right? Yeah, just the ladies. Yeah, right. See, don't underestimate what God says about times of uncertainty. It's not new to Him. You don't have to get a new iPhone to fix this void that's come into your life, to fix this fear and overcome it. You don't have to get a new phone so you can read the Bible more. We've got them out there. See, this sermon and the scriptures are not instruction manuals on how to get back into control or how to get our life back to ordinary. No, they're instruction manuals on how to get God in control and have Him make your life extraordinary. Amen? See, the last thing you want to do is get yourself in control. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He does, amen? You don't know enough, but He knows all the stuff. It's about learning to follow God through the valleys with confidence that God is in control, amen? That His purposes personally, corporately, and even nationally won't be destroyed by a little valley. Learning that in any valley, God is more than enough for you. Learning that in any situation, God will always deliver you. See, I don't say that God can be enough for you. I tell you He is enough for you. Amen? I don't tell you God can deliver you. I tell you He will deliver you. That learning in any lack, God will, not can, but will provide for you. And in any pain, God will carry you. You're never, ever alone. Nathan said it when he was talking about salvation earlier. You are never, ever alone. So what do we do? How do we make that happen? How do we get God to be in control again? How do we let God make what was ordinary extraordinary? How do we prevent ourselves from letting fear and overreaction and worry and how do we get God to stop that in our lives and help us to let Him take control? See, I've shared with you before that a few years ago I learnt to pray. I learnt that prayer changed everything. I learnt to stay there till the peace came. So when I pray, I stay until I've completely handed off what God always intended to carry for me. So we need to go to the Lord and pray. So we need to find a place to pray. We need to pray there until the peace comes. Amen? Come on, you need to say that. Pray there until the peace comes. We need to stay there until all we can think about is Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, and all the excellent or praiseworthy things, that we're thinking about those things. We need to stay there in that place, in that time, in that moment of prayer, until that's what's coming through our head, the things that are true, the things that are noble and right and praiseworthy and excellent. Because there are things going on that are hard to swallow. All around us in the world, in every country of the world and in here, everywhere, there's things going on that are hard to swallow. Might even make you fear for your kids' future if you let them. And some of you are overcome with uncertainty because of laws that have been passed on each and every side of the political spectrum, and you find yourself unable to stop thinking about them. It's not that thinking about them's wrong. It's not that you shouldn't have an opinion. It's not that you don't have the right to do something. You do. But if you're like me, sometimes we just can't shake things out of our minds. Can't even get it out long enough to fall asleep sometimes. Some of us are so freaking worried about things that we cannot change, or even if we could, we don't know how. That you need to go to the Lord and say, I'm not leaving this place until I have peace. Come on, I'm not leaving this place until I have peace. Well, I know some people aren't happy unless they're miserable. Well, I say forget that. Some people just want to be freaking out. Some people just want to be surrounded by drama. I want to tell you, if you want to live like that, you're never going to live to the full potential that God created you for. You've got to find a time in your life to say no more of this. This fear, this worry, this overreaction, this concern. It's not going to overwhelm me anymore. I don't care if it's been how I used to do things. It's not going to be how I'm going to do things. Amen? I'm going to go to prayer and I'm going to stay there until the peace comes in Jesus' name. Come on, someone say amen. Come on. Can I have the band come back up here? I'm staying right here until you bless me. Does that sound familiar? Have you heard the story of Jacob on the riverbanks wrestling with God? A 97-year-old dude. Come on, if you're even close to that, you ain't anywhere near done yet. 97-year-old dude. God. A late night by the river and a wrestling match ensues. This is the serious story. I didn't make this stuff up. If you read Genesis chapter 32, you're going to find this story. Heck, you read the Bible, you're going to find a whole bunch of other stories just like it. Awesome stories. 97-year-old dude wrestling with God late night down by the river. Jacob wrestles with God. And I always come back to that sentence in verse 28 that says, I will not let you go until you bless me. It's an attitude that says, God, I will not leave this place until I get what you're going to give me. I will not let you go doesn't speak to God's ability to go or not go. God could go at any moment he wants. I will not let you go speaks to the determination in Jacob's heart to get from God the thing that God can only give him. Amen. It speaks to the determination in your heart. God, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And God goes, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to stab you in the side so you remember it. 97-year-old dude wrestles with God. You got to be like Jacob. Say, I'm not leaving here till I get my peace. Come on, I'm not leaving here till I get my peace. See, when I was 17 and I found out I was having heart surgery, when the doctor told me that death was one of the options, I kind of freaked out a bit, a little bit. But when I finished freaking out, when I'd had enough of this freaking out, enough of this fear, I went up to that altar call and I said, God, I'm not leaving here until I know that you're going to save me. Not till I know that you can save me. I didn't say, God, I'm not leaving here till I know that you can save me. I knew that he could save me. I said, I'm not leaving here till I know that you're gonna save me. Amen. I'm not leaving here till I get that peace that surpasses all understanding. What's that even mean? It's in these same scriptures we've been reading, by the way. I'm not leaving here till I get that peace that makes no sense. Because when you're about to get someone cut your heart out with a spoon, it's a knife, but Robin Hood makes it sound way better. when you're about to get your heart cut out, it makes no sense to have peace, does it? But the peace of God surpasses all understanding. And in the midst of that, I found a place where I got peace. The next day, my heart was coming out of my chest, literally, disconnected in every single way that it could ever be connected to my body and sitting on my chest and being opened up. And in the midst of that, the night before, I had exceptional peace. Peace that makes no sense whatsoever. Because I said, I'm not leaving here until I get my peace. I'm not leaving here until I get that peace that makes no sense. I'm bringing you this in prayer like you said to do in your word. And you said that when I do this, that I get peace. Would you stand up with me? Here's one thing I know. And I'm not preaching a woe is me, y'all got problems kind of message. Some of you in here are in so much victory that you need to pray to God that you keep that victory. We sit here, I don't need prayer. If you're in victory, you need prayer as much as me, because that can go when you take your eyes off God, when you stop honoring God, when you stop thanking God. Come on, you better go to the Lord and then get some peace that is going to stick around. You know, when things are going good and you're freaking out about when this is going to end, that's just stupid. Go to God and say, God, I want this to keep going. Can you give me peace that this isn't going to end? You need prayer too, my friend. Yeah. You need to pray. You need to go to prayer. But then there's other ones in here who you find yourself wondering if you can even stay married. And all day, all you can think about is that. There's other ones in here and you think all you can think about is a loss that you've suffered. A relationship that just broke down. Girlfriend, boyfriend, family member, friendship. Some of you in here and you're in the middle of a divorce and it's heartbreaking. I've seen it firsthand. Not in my life, in my parents' life. And it hurts. It hurts people. You need to go to the Lord and say, I'm not leaving here till I get my peace. I'm not leaving here till I get that peace that you promised me that I'd get when I bring all things to you. So whatever it is that's going on in your life, if you need prayer today, see, some of you, yeah, you can stand there and worship and say, I'm standing here until you give me peace. But some of you need to borrow some of my faith. Some of you need to borrow some of Pastor Jed's faith and Pastor Nathan's faith and Pastor Manasseh's faith. And some of you need to borrow some of our faith. Some of Jesse Walk's faith, some of Christian Walk's faith. You want to borrow our faith? Then you come down here and we'll stand with you and pray with you. And we'll stand there with you till the peace comes. Amen. So come on, let's worship him and let's get some peace in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.